So I wanted to do a series about finding your life purpose. And then I realized, I'm sick of life purpose. It's gotten so trendy. You know, every time I turn around, someone's offering to help me find my life purpose. And people that I like, Michael Gott's workshop last week was Living on Purpose, and it was quite good. Several major speakers and authors are currently offering classes and telecourses to help me discern my life purpose. Of course, the most famous is Rick Warren's Purpose-Driven Life, the book that became a brand. He got the world's greatest title. He makes the point in the book that it's better to live with purpose. Then he tells you what your purpose is. It's winning souls for Jesus. I heard recently a couple of new ways to find your purpose, new to me anyway. Some people believe it's already written down for you in the Akashic Records, the book of life, written in the ethers. Details of every lifetime anyone has ever lived throughout human history. I've heard it called a universal supercomputer. And some people give readings, intuitive readings, to tell you your purpose from the Akashic Records. I also learned recently about hand analysis. Not palm reading, they will tell you. This is scientific. Information, I'm just reporting, okay? The way it was explained to me, information from your soul is carved into the lines of your hand. So you can do this long distance. You ink your hand and make a print and send it off, and they will give you a reading. It's like submitting your birth date and time of birth for an astrology chart.
It's actually fingerprint.
I saw a whole hand.
Well, that's different, though.
All right. So apparently you can get this done locally. And I tell you this not to endorse it or to make fun of it, but to point out there is a great hunger for people to find their life purpose. It used to be something mystical, and now it's trendy. And where there's a trend, there's a backlash. I don't know if there's a backlash yet against life purpose. Maybe I'm starting it. But we can see the cycle more clearly with the law of attraction. Are you a little tired of hearing about the law of attraction? Thinking maybe it's 15 minutes of fame are over? Here's what I think happens. There's an ancient spiritual law or a practice. It's been around for thousands of years. It shows up throughout history in different religions. And so in this case, it is the idea that our thoughts have creative power. Powerful mystical laws are not widespread or well-known until one day, thanks to the internet and the media we enjoy, an idea takes hold and just becomes wildly popular, usually because someone explained it in such simple terms that everyone got it, the secret. That movie addressed a need, a longing. You can create the life you want, and it spread like wildfire. So, two things to remember about our society. One, we live in an echo chamber. If an idea takes hold, it is everywhere in no time. Books, films, blogs, conferences, courses, online and offline. You can't miss it. You can't avoid it. And it's easy to get tired of hearing it. Second, we as a society are not good with nuance. Attention spans are short. Headlines are not subtle. So something that's deep and mystical loses a lot in the translation. First, it's popularized, then it's trivialized, and it's reduced to shorthand so everybody can be an expert. Astrology is a good example of this. Oh, you're a Taurus? You're stubborn. Just the headline. So this magnificent spiritual idea that we are co-creators with God, that our thoughts have divine power, became, I can have anything I want if I just wish really, really hard. And of course, serious people start to argue, that's not what it's about. That's too materialistic, too simplistic. And then the masses can't make it work like magic and decide it's all a hoax anyway. So there's backlash. Nobody likes the law of attraction anymore. It's worn out, discarded, discredited. And now I'm likely to get an eye roll when I try to teach this ancient spiritual law that still has great benefit. I see the same thing happening with soul's purpose. We're just earlier in the process. The idea that we are not here by accident, but every person is living with divine purpose, that we are on earth as humans for a reason, has gone from ancient spiritual belief to trendy to marketable. And now it's moving into the scolding phase. You really ought to know your life's purpose. I mean, everybody who's anybody knows their life's purpose. You mean you still don't know your life's purpose? Pretty soon, it'll be a pickup line like, what's your sign? Really? Hey, sailor, what's your life purpose? And then serious spiritual teachers like me will start to say, no, it's been misunderstood, it's been misused. And the masses will say, well, I thought I knew my life purpose. I paid money to find it out, but it didn't make my life better, so this is another hoax. So let me say this about that. I do believe we have a life purpose or purposes. Just as I still believe we are the creators of our own experience, no matter how much we bash the secret. I do believe our lives make more sense if we have some idea of what our purpose in life is. And I have nothing against Akashic records or hand analysis or angel readings or anything else that genuinely helps you access the divine within. I don't think it's hard to access. The inner wisdom is right there. You can just ask. But that takes practice for a lot of us. And there's nothing wrong with intercession if it's a person and a method that you trust. So let's talk about what life purpose means. And then next week, we'll talk about the many ways we are told what our purpose is. And then the third week will be, how are you doing with fulfilling your life's purpose? How can you tell? Ideally, knowing our purpose gives us something to measure against. We can use it to make decisions. Does this serve my purpose or not? If you are already so tired of hearing about life purpose that you don't want to know yours, that's fine. You can just drift through life and see what happens, which is not a bad way to go. Eckhart Tolle says, you can't not be on purpose. So we'll get to that. So life purpose or soul purpose is based on the idea that we are eternal beings. There is a non-physical me, call it a soul, that existed before the human body was formed and will continue after the body dies. Before we take human form, we have some ideas about what we want to accomplish in this human life. Maybe we come up with it ourselves. Maybe we work it out in a soul group. Some people think the purpose is assigned. You, go learn about forgiveness. There must be some things we can learn as humans on earth that we can't get without a body, when we're on the other side. The whole idea of purpose is the belief we're here for good reasons. We are not just an accident of evolution. And we are meaning makers. We want life to mean something, especially when it's difficult. So even if you don't resonate with the idea of coming in with purposes for this lifetime, you can show up and see what's here and then figure out what is yours to do, or decide what is yours, or choose what is yours, your purpose. That becomes your purpose. Michael Gott said last week, and I love this, it's a purpose, not a plan. Now, not everyone agrees with that. The Fillmores, Unity's co-founders, said God has a blueprint for your life. A lot of people believe certain things are supposed to happen or not. Call it God's will, call it destiny. I can't forget this woman at Unity of Phoenix came up to me after I'd spoken there and said, well, you believe in destiny, don't you? And I fumbled for an answer then, and I'm still trying to answer her. Yes and no. She meant certain life events are inevitable. If it's your destiny to be elected president or marry a certain person or win a Nobel Prize, then that's what will happen. I don't think so. That's why I like differentiating between purpose and plan. I believe we come in with broad strokes purpose and then create as we go. Through the creative power of our thoughts, and that is still a law, no matter the backlash, we set up opportunities for ourselves to fulfill our purposes. We create opportunities, we attract them, or we take whatever happens and use it for our purposes. So maybe we should define purpose. It's the reason we're here in human form on earth. It might also be something you want to accomplish or learn while you're here. And Eckhart Tolle says those are two different things. He says we have inner purpose and outer purpose. Inner purpose, he says, is the same for everyone. It's to awaken. Outer purposes are different for everyone. So most of us think of purpose as something we're supposed to do, but it's generally not a specific job. It's not, my purpose is to be a doctor. Healer, maybe. A healer, though, could be medical, psychological, spiritual, emotional. Could be an energy healer. Could be a personal trainer. Could be a great chef. Could be a good coach for little kids. Could be a great parent. I mean, think of all the ways that healing expresses. My purpose has something to do with ideas, offering information, shining the light of truth. I did that as a journalist. I do it as a minister. So it's not the job. Purpose may not even be something to do, but to be. I have a friend in Dallas who worried for a long time about finding her purpose, because she kept looking for something earth-shaking that would completely revolutionize her life, and she finally decided her purpose was just to love people. And she's so good at that. People just gravitate to her like the warmth of the sun, and she just loves. A number of you probably already know your purpose, or at least your purpose for this period of your life, because we have purposes. They can change over time. And you might already know your purpose is nothing flashy. To heal, to love, to forgive within the life you have. Most life purposes are carried out in the course of an ordinary life. It's rare you have to go be a missionary in Africa. So what about inner purpose? Eckhart Tolle says it's the same for everyone to awaken. In other words, to live in divine consciousness. We could talk all day about that. The point is, he says it's the same for everyone. Abraham Hicks says it's the same for everyone, and the purpose for everyone is joy. Not learning, not making the world a better place. Earth is not a school. We're just here to experience joy. And I always think of my friend Donna Manti, who's a minister in Reno. She tells us, I probably have told you this, but she tells the story of being 3 years old, really frustrated because her mother wouldn't let her do something, and she stamped her foot and said, I only came here to have fun. Abraham compares it to taking a vacation. If you plan a vacation, you look at all the places you can go, the things you can do, and then you'll end up back home. So why go at all? Because it's fun, because it's interesting, because you can get experiences somewhere else that you don't get at home. And yes, it might rain on your vacation. You might be delayed at the airport. You might get stuck on one of those cruise ships. Taking human form carries risks, but only to the human form. The soul always returns safely home. The only thing that can get in the way of your soul purpose is, of course, you. Your ego, your negative beliefs. I am taking a telecourse right now called Soul Vows, V-O-W-S. See, I told you I have nothing against this idea. And the whole process there is to access inner wisdom, the divine within, and ask, why am I here? But before you do that, you're supposed to clear out your negative vows. Most of us make up our minds as very young children what life is like and what we are like. And we're often wrong, or at least incomplete. So, for instance, if a father moves out, the child might decide love always hurts, or men can't be trusted, or people always leave me, or I'm not lovable, and live by that forever. Those are negative vows, false vows that we may have been living by. And it's easy to say, well, I'll just clear those out. It can be a lifelong process. And then there's some anxiety about how to live without them. Who would I be without my story? So just be aware, if you are seeking your life purpose, you may have to overcome some existing beliefs about life first. Clear out the old to make room for the new information. If you're interested in knowing your life purpose, I invite you this week to ask. Ask yourself, your higher self, your inner wisdom, angels, guides, fingerprints, Akashic records. Look for clues, ask for signs. And we will talk next week about the many ways you are called to your purpose. So let's take these thoughts into meditation. To meditate, we simply become even more comfortable. Relax your body and just be aware of the chair supporting you. And know that you are supported in all ways in your life. We meditate to turn off the noise and the busyness of the outside world and go within, where we meet the soul, higher self, inner wisdom, divine within. It has many names, but it is you. Your body doesn't have a soul, your soul has a body to use in this lifetime, on this planet, for a while. So it's a partnership. We have to learn how to function as humans, but we are never separate from the divine, from the soul that is connected, that has its source in the source. And it's through this soul that we have the power of God available to us. It is from the soul level of seeing that we know all is well, that we feel our oneness, that we hear the voice of guidance, that we know ourselves to be God. And so take a few moments just to say hi to your soul. If it's been a long time since you connected or not, this is always here for you. It is in this sense of oneness that we ask, why am I here? What is mine to do? Who did I come here to be? The answers may not be immediate, but once you open to them, they will become clear. Because you are connected to the wisdom of God. You're here for a reason. We're so grateful for this awareness. So grateful for a chance to connect and to practice our soul vows. And so it is. Amen.